Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Joseph Ward, and welcome to my On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel. Thank you for joining me. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you share this channel. And that notification button, click that notification button so every time I drop a new video, you will know what's going on. African history at your fingertips through this channel. You're getting biographies of your sung and unsung heroes right at your fingertips. So tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about On the Shoulders of Giants, where you can learn about yourself and we tell our own stories. Peace out. John Horse. The legend John Horse was born near Micanopy, Florida, during the time of the War of 1812. His mother was an African woman who was enslaved by his father, a Seminole Indian slave trader named Charlie Cavallo. John Horse and his mother were the property of Cavallo, but lived in one of the Oconee Seminole settlements populated by black people along the Suwannee River. In 1817, during the First Seminole War, John Horse's settlement, along with others, were raided by American forces led by President Andrew Jackson. They displaced many families and enslaved a number of black people they captured. Following the displacement of the Seminoles, John Horse was living amongst the Oconee Seminoles near the Tampa Bay. As a child, John Horse was known as Juan. He earned the name Gopher John after it was discovered that he was swindling a personal cook by selling him the same tortoise, pretending it was different tortoises in exchange for the cook's meals. The particular tortoise he was using was the gopher tortoise. As John Horse grew into manhood, he would join his fellow Seminole warriors in a fight against the American forces. The Second Seminole War began in 1835 because the American forces were trying to force the Seminoles and the blacks off of their lands. During the war, John Horse served as a field officer, translator, war chief, and political negotiator for the Seminoles. As the war drew on, John Horse and other blacks were promised freedom and allies if they would surrender to the American troops and agree to be relocated. Horse agreed to the terms and was later granted his freedom papers by General William J. Worth and was quickly shipped into Indian Territory in Mississippi. John Horse also learned that he was lied to because all the blacks who agreed to relocate were not freed, including his second wife and children. During the time as an active body in the Second Seminole War, John Horse served Americans as a scout and translator. This experience helped him to have a better view of the American enemies as he became a leader of the Black Seminoles in Mississippi. This experience also helped John Horse return to Florida. He continued to work as a go-between for the Seminoles and the American forces. He allowed himself to be used to convince fellow Seminole Chief Wildcat to give up his land and move to the territory in Mississippi. Once his job was done, he too was shipped back to the territory. Mercy was shown to John Horse by the Seminole Council and Chief Micanopy as they agreed to grant John Horse his nominal freedom from ownership of the Seminole Nation. This was his third time being freed. It is said that the Seminole Indian transplants into the territory in Mississippi were living under the jurisdiction of the Creek Indians, who had different cultural practices. One of the cultural differences was the practice of chattel slavery. The Seminoles did not practice chattel slavery and lived in harmony with the free blacks. The other Indian tribes did not want the free blacks associated with the Seminoles to tempt their blacks to seek freedom. The free blacks and the Seminoles soon became targets of raids by the other tribes and whites to capture and enslave as many blacks as they could. This prompted John Horse and Wildcat to organize and resist the raids. When Seminole War Chief Dembo Factor was captured, John Horse, Wildcat, and the Creek Council protested the kidnapping and eventually won the release of Dembo Factor. John Horse would travel to Washington, D.C. in 1844 to argue for a separate land grant for the Seminole Indians outside of Creek territory. They were denied, but John Horse was determined to get change for his people. He traveled to Washington, D.C. once again by himself to appeal to General Jessup. He convinced Jessup to visit the Indian territory for himself. Following Jessup's visit, two new facilities were built for the Seminoles outside of Fort Gibson under the protection of the Army. Large numbers of Seminoles moved into the facilities, but they still lived under the threats of raids by the Creeks, whites, and others. Once, John Horse was attacked and shot by what was considered as a Creek assassination attempt. After the attack, John and his family moved back into the walls of the fort. Marcellus and William Duval were two white men with connections in Washington, D.C., working to reinstate freed black slaves as chattel slaves. They were working to persuade then-President James Polk to enslave the black Seminoles. General Jessup's granting for the freedom of the black Seminoles was deemed illegal by John Mason and the Seminole Council, and the black Seminoles were once again considered chattel slaves. The Seminoles were forced back into the territory of the fort in Mississippi, and because the free blacks and Seminoles were considered slaves again, up to 280 of them were kidnapped and re-enslaved. John Horse and Coacoochee led a protest against the enslavement of blacks and black Seminoles. The two men would also lead over 100 blacks into Texas fleeing slavery from 1849 to 1850, and they were pursued by Texas Rangers and the Duvals. John Horse and Coacoochee had a brief encounter with Comanche forces, but managed to escape and meet up with Major John L. Sprague at the Springs of Las Moras, close to the Mexican border. It was later learned that someone within the fleeing party tipped off Texas Rangers of the whereabouts of John Horse, Coacoochee, Sprague, and the fleeing blacks. Trying desperately to reach free lands, the fleeing blacks made a dash for the Mexican border. As they reached the Rio Grande, the Texas Rangers had caught up with them, but not soon enough. The blacks made it across the river and connected with Mexican officials in the state of Coahuila. In exchange for their hospitality, John Horse and his band agreed to help Mexico fight off any raids from Texas. In 1882, one of his last fights as a 70-year-old came when the land the Mexican government promised the Seminoles was being threatened by greedy landowners. John Horse rode into Mexico City to secure written agreements giving the land to the Seminoles. Unfortunately, he died during his mission, but it was typical of the type of man he had become. John Horse had no problem putting the safety of his people over his own safety. He made some questionable moves during his time as a Seminole leader, some which led to increased hardships for his people. But ultimately, he understood that the freedom of black people was more important to him than anything else. John Horse, we proudly stand on your shoulders. For more information, make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com and visit www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization.